You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. This week, Steve goes diving in dungeons, John is a far cry from sane, and we pour one out for the late, great Kevin Woolridge. No, we don't, because that'd be a waste of good booze. Hello, you are listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming.
Gadget. Where's Kevin?
Where is Kevin? Kevin! Where are you?
Right here. Chewie sounds sad. Kevin must be dead.
I think Kevin's dead. In the news, Kevin has died.
Lamborghini is.
Anyway, Kev's dead. It's just me and John now. We must soldier on. We will endeavor to persevere in the face of all adversaries.
No matter what the odds.
They took Kev up north and made him surrender.
He's working to call him on.
That's what happened. He died of black lung. Alas, poor Woolridge, before I knew him, Horatio. Seems fitting. No?
That's enough time spent on Kev.
Alright, anyway. Moving Kev's on.
Kev's got the flu.
So, instead of Kevin, this week we've got Chewbacca.
You said it, Wook.
Thanks, Chewie. Anyway. So, here we are, Blast Processing. Podcast, official, games.
Newfoundland's best gaming podcast.
Is it?
It is.
I've heard these stories.
Speak to me not of our competition.
We have competition.
So, okay, first off, here in Blast Processing, we encourage a lot of freedom of speech. We speak our mind, even if it's total bullshit that comes out of our mouths. We're still encouraged to do it.
I don't usually have that problem, though.
We had that problem this year, though. So, you guys will remember a couple years ago how I was slagging heavy on Mortal Kombat and was forced to eat a big plate of crow when the game came out. It was awesome. I'm going to let the... Yeah. Fuse's demo released this week.
Fuse.
I'm going to let Steve take it from there while I prepare his 2013 Eric Draven Award.
The Fuse demo did come out this week. I have said some none too polite things about it in the past, particularly after the relaunch. I mean, initially, you know, when they showed the original Overstrike 9, was it called?
Just called Overstrike.
Project Overstrike, whatever the heck it was.
Which is what it's still being released as in Europe.
Really?
Yeah, it's still called Overstrike in Europe.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Overstrike, you know, I thought, okay. Seemed like interesting enough idea, but not really the concept I would expect to carry an entire game. More like something you'd see in DLC. apparently someone at Insomniac agreed with me, or maybe it was someone at EA, who knows. But it got rebranded as Fuse, which was slightly more generic and such, and the art design was tightened up a little bit, made a bit more realistic. And then came, the game images and...
Box art.
The new box art, which is still terrible.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. And... We thought that basically whatever personality was in there was leached out completely. And I mean, I was the first to say it. It's going to join games like Time Shift and, what was it, that one about Pandora's Box? Legendary or whatever it was called.
Legendary.
And, you know, it was going to join a lot
what
of these
What was the one
games.
About the Nazis?
Turning Point, Fall of Liberty. Yeah. Now, the big thing...
Singularity.
Singularity is another good one. But now, Singularity was an awesome game.
So was Time Shift.
Time Shift was pretty cool. Anyway, the biggest difference that Fuse has with most of these other games is, holy shit, it's actually pretty damn awesome. I never should have doubted Insomniac.
No, you shouldn't have.
I should not have.
So, Steve Power, I present to you the 2013 Blast Processing Eric Draven Award.
Enjoy. Ooh, Rolling Rock, extra pale.
Enjoy your crow, sir.
I will.
So, yeah, the Fuse demo, if you haven't downloaded it, it's available on PlayStation Network. I believe it's available on Xbox Live Arcade.
It is.
Or Xbox Live. And it is phenomenal.
We haven't tried the Xbox version because, quite frankly, only civilized people play on PlayStation 3.
That's right.
So
well, here's my thing is, I pay an internet fee for the internet in my house.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay some, I'm not going to pay an additional fee.
To play online. Yeah, I guess fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, anyway, the Fuse demo, solid, tight, third-person shooter. Really well put together. And this whole G.I. Joe meets James Bond attitude that the initial trailer had shown is still very much intact.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd go one further and say it's almost more Mission Impossible.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I mean, they carved a lot of... You know, I don't... Because, I mean, the trailer's got to be going up against guys in mech suits and everything. And it's really... Or, sorry, the demo. It's really cool. You don't really kind of see the... remember the original Overstrike trailer had a dude kind of look like a Terminator crossed with a boomer from Bubblegum
Crisis. Yeah, it looked very cartoon.
Yeah.
It looked very, very cartoonish.
And, I mean, I looked at... You look at the game now, and when I went back and rewatched that trailer, I was like, wow. It looks like they shaved about 30 pounds of jaw off Dalton Brooks.
Yeah, and that original trailer was pretty cheesy.
It was.
You know, it was like Gen 13 or Danger Girl.
Yeah.
Turned into a video game, you know?
Yep.
But this one, yep. Thumbs up to the Fuse demo before we get on to our first review of the evening. Which, we'll leave our parting thought. One of us or maybe both of us will be reviewing Fuse in the very near future because it does release on May 28th. So I'm sure we're both going to have it. We're going to be playing co-op.
Yep. Need a couple other gamers. I don't think Kevin would be down for this one. He likes wizards and elves in his games.
I like wizards.
Yep.
And elves?
Yep. Kev doesn't like machine guns and robots.
He does sometimes. Yeah. Well, I think Kevin would enjoy Fuse.
Oh, he would too.
I think he would. It's kind of a cross between Uncharted and Gears of War. It's like that happy middle ground. You know? The gameplay in both is so similar anyway, but, you know, the shooting is more... It's got more of that Gears of War action bent, but the vibe is more Uncharted. That tongue-in-cheek, secret agent-y kind of thing.
And there's a lot of banter.
There is a lot of banter, and the banter's pretty good.
Yeah. Yo, yo, I'm doing my job! So, my review for the week. I'm very excited to be back on... back on the consoles. I know I reviewed one for consoles last episode as well, but I figured, what the hell, I'm gonna go two for two.
Woo!
And this is an interesting one for me, because I didn't actually play Far Cry 3.
I did.
And, but I went in blind anyway, and just based on the genius of that trailer, I went and downloaded Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Woo!
The year is 2007. The apocalypse has had an apocalypse. Cyber terrorists are unleashing cyber hell. But from the toxic ashes of Vietnam War II. So straight up, I'm just going to get it there right off the top. Before I get to the inevitable but, this is the game that Duke Nukem Forever should have been.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah. It also should have been the length of the Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah. It's, you know, they get the humor. It avoids the same pitfalls that Duke Nukem and, what was the other, oh shit,
Matt Hazard.
You Eat Lead, the Return of Matt Hazard or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, if you're gonna make fun of box puzzles, don't make us do a box puzzle. You know, Blood Dragon's got that joke with the tutorial at the beginning, but that lasts for like 15 seconds. But it's a very, very funny, absolutely insane game. You know, takes... and what I think really worked for, as opposed to the aforementioned Eat Lead or Duke Nukem Forever, is... Blood Dragon actually had a functioning, well-playing game as its base.
Yeah, well, I mean, Far Cry 3 is a absolutely outstanding shooter.
Yeah.
You know? Far Cry 2 was an outstanding shooter.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
So, what's the developer? Is it Crytek develops them?
Ubisoft?
Ubisoft Montreal. Yeah. So these guys obviously know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I mean, their engine, they use an engine called the Dunia engine.
Yeah.
They used it for Far Cry 2, they used it for the Avatar game, which I still thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I know everybody else hated it, but hey, whatever. But it's a good engine, it's a technically pretty polished engine and stuff, and I mean, Blood Dragon looks absolutely glorious.
Oh, I love it, you know, it's dark, and just bleeds neon. Every single light source is neon.
Is neon, and also like has a motion blur applied to it.
Yeah, so it looks like a VHS tape in motion. I love it. Like, you look up the sky, and it's textured with scan lines.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a great looking game, great sounding game. The score is phenomenal.
It really is.
Was it the
Power Glove?
Power Glove.
Yeah.
And there's even a montage sequence in the game that was the music was written by Vince DiColi.
See, I haven't seen the montage yet. Yeah.
Oh, the sex scene into the montage.
I haven't seen that yet.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And, you know, this, I love the stuff. You know, you start out with a full weapons loadout.
Yeah, including the RoboCop pistol.
Yeah,
and
the AJM 9mm, Alex J. Murphy 9mm, and the Galleria 1991
lever sonic action Winchester.
Yeah, that's right. You fire it, he even cocks it like the Terminator. Mm-hmm. Does the roll with it?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's like all the stuff that you spent hours trying to unlock in Far Cry 3, it's already in your arsenal. You know, Sergeant Rick's Power Colt, Mark IV Cyber Commando. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say his full name and title whenever I bring him up. Sergeant Rick's Power Colt, Mark IV Cyber Commando, can run indefinitely. Will never run out of air underwater.
Has no falling damage.
Yeah, can take a fall that would kill a Stegosaurus. And it. Just they, you know, it's they knew what they were doing, and it's a ton of fun right off the start. But in this little lulls in between the jokey parts of the game, it does get somewhat boring.
That's my butt with it. Yeah. It's technically it's a really accomplished shooter. Like, you know, it's a great shooter. It's really well put together. It looks beautiful, but I think there are times where it's, you know, the nature of the development really shines through. There are times where, like, you know, even in a fairly brief campaign, it just kind of, it shows that it's something that was cooked up in a weekend or something. You know, it's something that a few Ubisoft guys got together and kind of cooked up as a joke.
Well, I figure this originally started as just somebody who started a reskin of Far Cry. And he goes, check out what Johnny did.
Exactly. And I mean, like, you do get those, like, I find there are times, even, like, immediately after the opening section, I got bored. Yeah. I really did, like, and the humor only kept me going for so long, and it just kind of, you know, like, yeah, I'm a child of the 80s, I love all those 80s cliches and stuff, you know, those shitty direct-to-video B-sci-fi movies and stuff that it's patterned after, but...
Oh, God, what was the one with a ninja, a scientist, a cyborg, now they're all Eliminators or something. That's all I could think of playing this.
And I mean, like, there's so much that I like about it. I mean, I love the gameplay. I love the aesthetic. I mean, and, like, technically, it looks brilliant. Like, it does look really, really good. But I kind of got sick of it really fast.
Yeah.
It's like playing a shooting gallery game, you know? Like, you're so powered up, you're so amped up at the beginning, that after 15 or 20 minutes, you're just kind of like, anyway, bored now.
Yeah. And all the enemies, just, I mean, it's always the same guys with the motorcycle helmet with the moving thing that looks like Kit.
Yeah. And I mean, again, like, I love the design aesthetic and stuff like that, but it's, and like, the first 20 minutes or hour of the game is amazing. Like, I mean, you know, like, it makes an amazing first impression.
Yeah.
Really, really good first impression. But then it just kind of sits there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, anyway, you were fun for an hour, you should leave now.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about it, you know?
Now, on the other hand, the fact that you're getting a roughly 8-hour campaign for $14.99 is astounding.
Yeah.
It is absolutely astounding. And the end of this, the end of the game, I'm going to spoil it for you, when you're on your epic mount, you're basically riding around on a blood dragon that's been completely covered in cyber armor and can talk to you, but talks like the dog from Up. He just voices his emotions, and then he gives us, "I am shooting lasers from my eyes." How do you feel? I am angry. I mean, that stuff is great. All the anytime Rex, Sergeant Rex, Power Colt, Mark IV Cyber Commando speaks, it's just a treat.
Oh, it's Michael Biehn.
Yeah, Michael Biehn speaking in a Christian Bale voice.
Yeah.
reading the worst lines ever written. Spider, I think these guys are Omega Force.
And I just... I mean, so much I love about it, but at the same time...
It's only good for an hour's chuckle.
Yeah, that jaded part of me is just kind of like... I'm the same way about it that I am with spoof movies. It's great to sit down and play with a bunch, or you know, with a bunch of people and have a laugh or whatever. But the moment you sit down and try to have like a serious game night out of it just by yourself,
yeah,
it's kind of no.
I think this game for me, actually for all of us, is going to be used probably one more time, and that's when we finally show it to Dobbin.
Yeah,
and then after that, it'll
vanish.
It'll just vanish.
Yeah, I mean it's good. It's worth. The price of admission.
$14.99 is more than worth it.
Yeah.
And if you really enjoyed Far Cry 3...
More Far Cry 3.
Yes, more Far Cry 3. You know, you're getting another 8 hours a game. Now, when I say 8 hours, that's to crack it completely over.
Yeah, I've heard the campaign can be done in about 3.5 to 4. If you just basically rush from point A to point B.
Which you can do.
I found that kind of hard because I couldn't find point B when I started playing. I was at point A and shooting stuff, but I didn't know where point B was.
The glowing orange thing.
Oh, the glowing orange thing.
On a screen full of glowing orange.
Of course. But yeah, it's good. It's good. And you know what? Bien has said, basically, that he was talking to an Ubisoft producer, like the guy who produced the game or whatever, and they had a conversation about how well it performed in the first week. And it's pretty much been confirmed that Ubisoft is going to go with a full-fledged Rex Power Colt Mark IV Cyber Commando standalone game.
Nice.
And it'll be Bien, of course. And, I mean, I'm hoping that with a bit of development in Ubisoft, I mean, Ubisoft Montreal especially, they're one of the most talented video game design studios on the planet.
Well,
if they can't come up with a concept to carry the whole game...
They are the reason that Montreal has become such a hot spot for game development.
Oh, they were the start. They were the start of it all. Splinter Cell on Xbox.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's kicked it all off. And if they can't come up with a concept to carry that full game, nobody can.
Exactly.
You know?
So, Action Junkies should probably have something to look forward to.
I agree. Now it's time for the news!
Ha! Excuse me for a second. Oh, I think you actually start this one.
I actually start this one?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start with a story that means a lot to me. Patrice Desilier, the co-creator of Assassin's Creed, I may have pronounced his name right, I'm sure Gabe will correct me if I didn't, co-creator of Assassin's Creed, has been unceremoniously sacked by Ubisoft. Patrice originally left the company in 2009, and then after his exclusivity, whatever the hell contract was up, he spearheaded THQ's new Montreal studio, only to return to Ubisoft when they snapped up the Montreal operations during the big THQ sellout earlier this year. This is the guy who created Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
This is not some scrub game developer or whatever. And I mean, all of you people out there in video game land can say what you like about the original Assassin's Creed. When that game was released, there was nothing else like it. Nothing. Period. Full stop. You can say what you want about the concepts and stuff not being fully developed or how repetitive the game was. But in terms of control, in terms of character interactions, in terms of how Altair as a character interacted with the environments, in terms of how the game was put together, the cities and stuff, nothing in existence up to that point compared to just the general ingenuity and innovation that they, like, the ambition that was displayed in Assassin's Creed. I mean, whatever you feel about the game, whether the 7s out of 10s were justified or the 9s out of 10s were justified, the one thing you cannot take away from that game was innovation. Physics, character animations, all of it was very, very innovative for the time, very trendsetting.
And also the bank that it made.
Yeah, and then there's the series that it kicked off, only the most prolific new series of this generation. You know,
cash money.
To basically be escorted out of the building with two security guards, not even allowed to gather his things from his office, not being allowed to interact with any of his own team. And then just fired out of the building. That is...
I wonder if they threw him out a window like Axel Foley in Beverly Hills Cop.
No, I don't think they did. But that's still pretty disgraceful, Ubisoft. They were given no reason. And they basically... took the two IPs that he was working on for THQ, two games which he conceived and created, one called Codename Underdog, the other Codename 1666, I believe is what they called it, and they just laid claim to those. Patrice seems pretty pissed off over the whole thing, and really, we don't blame him. There's no way to treat someone who, you know, gave you guys the most successful new franchise of this generation.
Now, prior to Assassin's Creed, how long had he been with Ubisoft?
Oh, pretty much since the beginning with Montreal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So this is a guy whose head fingers and paws of several...
Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the original Assassin's Creed was the Sands of Time team.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go, right?
Okay, so not only one of the most prolific game series of this generation, but also had a hand in one of, and I'm going to say, one of the greatest games of the last generation.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, not really... I'm sure he probably burned a few bridges when he left Ubisoft in 2009, like when he went to work with THQ, and then when he hired a bunch of guys who worked on Assassin's Creed with him to the studio, to the new THQ studio. I'm sure that Ubisoft's feathers were probably ruffled by that. Very good chance.
Yeah.
And their, you know, their response, they're basically saying, we tried to kind of have a chat with him and see if we were all on the same wavelength, and they decided, no, not really, and kicked him out. It's just kind of like, really, guys? That's a little...
harsh.
Yeah. Tad harsh.
Tad you want to know something, though?
Tad cockish.
I got a feeling Patrice is going to have very little trouble.
Oh, his
securing another job.
The only comment he really made to Eurogamer was, I guess I'll survive.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Hey, Eidos is in the same city.
They are. Yeah, Eidos Montreal is there.
In happier news...
Yay!
Bethesda has announced Wolfenstein: The New Order, which tells a tale of the 1960s invasion of America by Nazis in mech suits. I'll let that sink in for a second. Nazis in goddamn mech suits. If you haven't seen this trailer yet, go onto YouTube, pump your quality up to 760p.
Yep, at least.
At least. And just let your brain go. It's one of those teaser trailers I love, too, man, where it's just like the close-up, like the original T2, or that Die Hard 2 teaser.
Yeah,
just close-up machinery work, and then making the Wolfenstein logo, and then it becomes something so awesome after that.
Nazis in goddamn mech suits!
Jimi Hendrix soundtrack.
Yes! Jimi Hendrix singing all along the Watchtower.
I just love that last shot of all the mech suits, and then it just pulls back to...
They're on the Bay Bridge, too, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're on the San Francisco Bay Bridge.
Pulling back to what I'm assuming this is B.J. Blazkowicz.
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to be.
They forgot about me. And you see a guy standing there with a machine gun and a shotgun.
And a trench coat.
And a trench coat. And the pouring down rain. And I just watch it and go, this is not going to end well for Cyber Hitler.
No. No, it isn't. And oh, man, I think it's going to be great. Yeah. The only thing that would make the game better to me, and I know it's not going to happen, is if it were a third-person shooter instead of a first-person shooter.
The only bit of news I think has been released is they've confirmed no multiplayer.
Yeah, there is no... It's entirely single-player, which is also a breath of fresh air.
Yep.
Great to see the old girl back again.
Oh, yeah. Glad to see she survived, what was the last series called?
It was one just Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
For PS3 and 360, which was actually pretty damn good. But it was when Raven was developing...
No, there was the PC series must have been right before that.
Oh, Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of a...
It was okay.
Middling.
Yeah, it was okay. But yeah, the last one, which was spearheaded by Activision, I mean, it's nice to see the game come out of Activision's clutches unscathed.
Yeah.
You know?
Unshuttered.
Yeah, exactly. TimeGate Studios. Oh, here we go.
The story that will not die.
In this year's story that will not die, TimeGate Studios, the shadowy developer of Aliens Colonial Marines, no, it wasn't Gearbox, appears to be all but dead and buried, having cleared out their staff and declaring Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Wah, wah. Bah, 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 bah. I'm sure when Gearbox first came knocking on their door with a contract and the Aliens franchise, they thought they had gotten a golden ticket.
Yeah.
We all know how that turned out.
Yeah.
I know they were also having some issues with South Peak Interactive, the publishers of Section 8. Because they claim to own the IP, and South Peak are kind of like, you may have created it, but we own it. We're the publishers, you know. Oh, no, you didn't. Z-Snap. But, no, apparently, there was a lot of court brouhaha over that, which had a lot to do with the damage, and then I guess the Aliens Colonial Marines fallout was just the end of the road, you know. Meanwhile, Sega has announced that Aliens Colonial Marines has sold over 1.3 million copies. And this has been their most profitable quarter, what, since they went...
53% increase.
Over last year?
Yeah.
So, you know, their most profitable quarter since they went multi-platform.
Yep.
Wow. That's... Wow.
So even if the game shoots sack, a lot of people bought it. It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't as bad as the hype. It was just, no. Again, that whole trailer thing.
Yep. Speaking of trailers, Call of Duty Ghosts is official now. So there's that.
See, it's a thing.
Yeah. The new Call of Duty coming.
That was a Wookiee.
That indeed was a Wookiee. In more Wookiee news...
This is not really Wookiee news, but Defiance, a game Steve quite enjoyed. Kev, not so much, we know. We'll get a second season on Sci-Fi.
Nice.
After the first 13-episode run is done. So that's cool. Meanwhile, the game has over 1 million unique accounts. So that's good. And 5 DLC packs coming this year. And that's fucking great.
So, Rumorang, thrown to the wind. New 3D Mario may be forthcoming from Nintendo. You know, that... Yeah, rumor speaking is so as soon as October.
Really?
Yeah, this might have been the perfect thing to unveil at... Oh, I don't know. Maybe in fucking E3 press conference. Idiots.
Morons. Is it going to be a real, like, 3D Mario, like Mario 64 3D Mario? Or is it going to be another fucking Mario Sunshine piece of shit?
Yeah,
Mario
I was wondering I was wondering about your wording here. No, I'm assuming they mean a new console Mario game.
I'm hoping it's, like, Mario 64, you know? Like, real Mario game, not Mario Galaxy or Mario Sunshine crap.
Mario Galaxy was a real Mario game.
Yeah, but it sucked.
Something wrong with you, boy.
Mushroom Kingdom, Mario, fight Bowser, rescue princess, the end.
Speaking of the end.
The end. Oh, here we go. This is a big one, so bear with me. Precursor Games has taken the wraps off of Shadow of the Eternals, a spiritual successor to Silicon Knights developed GameCube cult hit Eternal Darkness. The plan is a crowdfunded episodic title for Wii U and PC. What's bizarre is that Precursor Games is made up almost entirely of Silicon Knights staff, including SK's outspoken and rather douche-tastic leader, Dennis Dyack. One of my personal favorite whipping boys. More bizarre, just before SK lost their lawsuit with Epic, they had talked about opening a second studio in Hamilton, Ontario, which, coincidentally enough, happens to be the home base of Precursor.
Go Tarkats.
Even more bizarre, Silicon Knights has now become a ghost town. Offices are empty, no word has come from leadership. In the wake of the Epic lawsuit loss and the rumors of Activision threatening reprisal for wasting their time and money with X-Men Destiny, which is another story in and of itself, one can't help but wonder if this was Dyack and Company's escape plan all along. As if this rabbit hole weren't deep enough, Silicon Knights has sold all the assets for what was Eternal Darkness 2 to the gang at Precursor, including Dennis Dyack.
How much did it was sold for?
Probably for a dollar, a double-double, and a BCD. That's my hunch. Either way, we at Blast Processing call shenanigans.
Shenanigans! EA, Electronic Arts.
Woo!
The Secret Darkness, Shogun of the Dark. The Third Reich of Game Publishers.
Sieg Heil!
They're not that bad, honestly. Now owns exclusive rights to all video games pertaining to Star Wars.
Woo!
Insert Emperor/Darth Vader/Screaming Luke Skywalker quote here.
No! That's not true! That's impossible!
Now,
you will be destroyed.
Seriously, maybe we'll finally get some Star Wars worth playing again, with announcements that DICE, Visceral, and fucking BioWare will be developing offerings. This can honestly lead only to good things.
I think so.
I honestly think so, too. Imagine, okay, Visceral, pretty talented little action game.
As long as it's Dead Space Visceral.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, imagine, like, okay, imagine the guys who made Dead Space making a Star Wars action-adventure title.
Star Wars Scum and Villainy. Make it happen.
Sweet Merciful Jesus.
Make it happen.
Sweet Zombie Baby Start of the Cult Jesus.
And that brings us to the end of the news.
BioWare Star Wars. Not Old Republic, though, please. Imagine taking the original KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, flipping it around to, like, to, you know, episode 4 continuity.
Yeah.
And doing an RPG. That'd be awesome. Shit, that'd be awesome. I bet we're just going to get a whole bunch more games where Jedi swing things at each other. Womp womp.
That being said, I love that first level where you get to hit Wookiees. Darth Vader goes mad killing Wookiees.
Okay, so here we go. EA, more like Force Unleashed, less like Force Unleashed 2.
Bam. Done.
Did Force Unleashed 2 really suck that bad?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my god, yes.
I wouldn't even play because So we had Blood Dragon. Didn't you have another Dragon game you wanted to review?
I guess it's kind of Dragon related.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? Oh, hey, yeah. It's got Dragon in the title anyway.
One beer, man. That's weak.
I know. I'm horrible. At least I don't have to drive anywhere. I did play Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen, which is the expansion slash standalone slash thing, something.
Give us your money.
Yeah, Capcom wants Dosh version of Dragon's Dogma, which was actually probably one of my top 3 games last year. I did spend a lot of time with that game. Went through the whole single player campaign and all that jazz, level up characters. Actually started a second game with my, like, completed character and stuff like that, you know. So I played a lot of Dragon's Dogma. Dark Arisen does change the formula up somewhat. It is the original game, you know, you get the original game with it. Plus you get the Dark Arisen content for the lovely price of $39.95. So if you haven't played Dragon's Dogma up to now, now is a good chance. It's a great game. It's different, but it's a great, great game. Like, if you like stuff like Dark Souls, Demon Souls, you'll enjoy Dragon's Dogma. It doesn't have the same level of difficulty. Combat's a little bit more visceral. You know, your combos and special attacks and stuff are a lot more advanced than what you get in something like Dark Souls. But it's got some comparisons. And
it doesn't have a cry button.
Have a cry button like Dark Souls, no.
Fetal position.
Curl up like fetus. Press X. But it does, however, definitely have, like, some new content that is even more reminiscent of the Souls games than Dragon's Dogma was. Gone are nice lush green fields with, like, trees swaying in the breeze and stuff. Instead you get nice dark catacombs with light being cast from lanterns everywhere and freaking ridiculous monsters, including Death.
Nice.
Death is in there.
I was hoping they were going to put in Satan from Ghouls and Ghosts.
No, I haven't seen Satan yet, but I think there is something similar to Satan in there. But, I mean, hey, if you're going to fight Death, you might as well fight Satan.
That's it.
They have tightened up the controls some. They have improved graphics a little bit, actually. Textures are a little higher res. The menu system's been tweaked and made a little more streamlined, a little more customizable. So it's, overall, pretty solid game. Looks good, sounds good, you know. If you play Dragon's Dogma, not much difference there. But the new area really is where it kind of comes into its own. You get this more, like, the overworld exploration is gone. Instead, you're kind of, like, dungeon diving, I guess.
Spelunking.
Cave diving. It's fun. I'm really, really enjoying it.
This week, it's base jumping.
It's the kind of, you know, if you didn't like the first one, stay away from it. It's not going to change your mind. But at the same time, if you're looking for an experience, you know, where you can lose a large number of hours into, like, a fantasy setting. And the other thing I really dig about it, and it's something that I immensely dug about the original as well, it's a no-apologies-made classic throwback to fantasy. You know, it's Lord of the Rings slash Dungeons and Dragons fantasy. It's not... There's no real unique concept in there. There's no real, you know, bizarre nature to it. There's no, you know, it's not like Skyrim where they took Norse mythology and filtered it through through fantasy, which is badass and awesome. But, you know, it's straight up old school. You know, if you threw dice and played Dungeons and Dragons in the 1980s or beyond, it's very much straight up fantasy. And that's kind of nice to see. You know, no giant, like, shoulder pads made out of the Chrysler LeBarons and broadswords the size of someone's torso. You know, it's good, solid, real fantasy.
Big-ass manticores.
There are some big-ass manticores. And the bosses, like the monsters in general, are freaking awesome. Absolutely awesome. And fighting them feels fantastic. You know, it's a great game. And now there's more of it. So I guess that's it.
Get out your wallet.
Yes, $39. Can't go wrong. We got Gaboos this week?
Sure, yeah, we got Gaboos.
What are they?
Well, Oh, good, because they're so much bad and ugly. let's see. Good. Good, 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 good.
Far Cry Blood Dragon?
No, there was something in the news was good.
Star Wars EA?
Yeah, let's go Star Wars EA.
I was going to say Call of Duty Ghosts. Because we all know it's awesome.
I heard they blow up the moon in this one. I'm not going to call this one, though. Because we've had the Codwa, the Codblops.
Codga.
Codga.
Codga. Codblops deuce.
Dropping a deuce.
Codbla. Codga. Codj. We're going to play some Codge.
I can do a game show for about the Codge. That's definitely the ugly.
Playing with the Codge.
You got to take this out in post.
Not likely.
Highly unlikely.
Bad.
Patrice?
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty harsh.
Yeah.
Pretty rotten.
Yeah. Uglies at a piano didn't fall on Dennis
Deal? Hey, Dennis, Deal. Ugly is that the man still has a job in the industry.
Yeah.
After the shenanigans between him and Nintendo, then the shenanigans between him and Epic, then the shenanigans between that studio and Activision. You know, it's just...
Oh. He's such a loudmouth.
Oh, and we forgot about the shenanigans between them and Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah.
You know?
Such a loudmouth. And just does not deliver. And you can't, like, just coasting on past accomplishments.
Yeah, and I mean, I said it ages ago. I know you, when we were talking a lot about the Epic thing and suing over Unreal Engine 3 and all of this stuff, you know, it's like, okay, you're talking about the engine being used by, what, 75 to 80% of all game developers this generation.
Yeah.
And you're saying that you can't make it work?
Yeah.
I got news for you, man. How many other hundreds of games have made it work just fine? You know, that says to me, that says a lot about the quality of your team. I'm sorry, man. You know? The quality of your leadership, more than anything.
Yeah.
And I kind of dug Too Human.
Something wrong with you, boy.
I know. Anyway, there you go. Good, bad, ugly.
Tune in next week. We'll probably have more Kevin.
With 100% more Kevin.
Yeah.
Most likely. Maybe not. Who knows?
See how this flu works out.
We gotta start looking for a suitable replacement, I think.
Blanket.
Blanket. Chewy. Chewy can be Kevin's replacement. Chewy's not as charismatic, though.
Plays more games.
Oh! Oh!
Sick burn!
Oh! That's... Oh! Oh! Anyway. Until next time, we've been Blast Processing. And remember... Let me down, Mercy.
What? If you're listening to this, you are the resistance?
Yes, exactly.
If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.